The new specs for the KCX don't make anyone happy. The first lawsuits filed in the Joe Stack incident. And the FAA issues a bulletin for certain pipers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 25th, 2010. As anticipated, the U.S. Air Force released its revised final request for proposals for the KCX tanker yesterday. Inside Defense counted 230 changes in the revised document, but it appears neither Boeing nor Northrop Grumman Eads, the two likely competitors, is really happy with it. Northrop has been threatening for months not to compete for the contract under terms it says favor Boeing's design, which at least up till now has been based on the 767 airliner. Boeing, in a release yesterday, says it's reviewing the request. VP Gene Chamberlain, who heads the company's tanker program, calls it, quote, an important milestone for our Air Force customer, unquote. But she adds, quote, we are disappointed that the RFP does not address some of our key concerns, including Airbus's unfair competitive advantage derived from subsidies from its sponsor European governments, subsidies that the World Trade Organization has found to be illegal and harmful to U.S. workers and industry, unquote. She added that Boeing will have no further comment until it has reviewed the RFP. In continuing fallout from Joe Stack's IRS vendetta in Austin, Texas, a lawsuit's been filed on behalf of the family of the only fatality other than Stack himself. Vernon Hunter's family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Joe's estate and his widow, Cheryl, who is serving as executor. Attorney Daniel Ross tells KVUE-TV in Austin, quote, my client, of course, has stated that her heart goes out to Mrs. Stack, and she considers Mrs. Stack as much a victim in this as anyone else, unquote. He says the suit was filed to facilitate a temporary restraining order to keep grisly autopsy details from coming to the attention of Hunter's 8 grandchildren. But, he adds, it's his job to determine if there is anything there. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin for a number of Piper PA-28 and PA-32 models. The bulletin recommends the incorporation of Piper Service Bulletin 1199. For now, the FAA says an AD is not warranted. The genesis for the new bulletin was an incident involving a Piper PA-28-140 used for flight training. After a failed landing attempt, it was discovered the left landing gear torque link had broken and allowed the strut and wheel assembly to depart the aircraft. The plane was damaged, but there were no injuries. A review of the aircraft's logbook revealed that 500-hour repetitive inspections of the torque link assemblies to detect cracks, which are required under AD 7208-06, had been done about 200 hours earlier. So now the FAA recommends that owners and operators logging a high number of landings per flight hour or that experience hard landings, incorporate more frequent inspections and new replacement time specified in Piper's Bulletin 1199. This bulletin augments and does not replace the AD. You can find a detailed list of affected models and serial numbers in the text version of this story, dated February 24th at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, a California pilot with HIV is free to sue the federal government. Cessna completes its buyout of Citation Air, and body scanners will be here in 2 weeks. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that the Social Security Administration was wrong when it disclosed to the FAA that Stanmore Cooper of California was HIV positive. The man is now free to sue the federal government for emotional distress and mishandling of his medical records. The Associated Press reports that Cooper had told the Social Security Administration about his HIV to be able to receive certain medical benefits, but failed to disclose it when he applied for a medical certificate. The FAA was tipped off as part of Operation Safe Pilot, the object of which was to find people who claimed disability through one doctor to receive payments, but used other doctors to certify their fitness to fly. Cooper admitted he withheld the info from the FAA between 1998 and 2004, pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor, and paid a $1,000 fine. But then he sued the government for violating the Privacy Act. The three-judge appeals panel ruled that Cooper suffered emotional distress as a result of the disclosure and that he could be entitled to damages. The FAA now allows individuals with HIV to hold a medical. Mr. Cooper tells ANN he currently flies as a sport pilot, using his driver's license in lieu of a medical. Cessna says it's completed its acquisition of Citation Air, a business aviation company originally called Citation Shares. The company started in 2000 as a joint venture between Cessna and TAG Aviation Holding. Cessna has gradually grown its stake and announced the acquisition of the final 8% on Tuesday. The terms were not released. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton explained, quote, "Because of Citation Air's innovative products, Cessna is able to offer customers an even wider range of lift solutions. Whether the need is to buy their own new or pre-owned jet, or for a customized lift plan, giving them access to Citation Air's fleet of Cessna Citations," unquote. Citation Air is now wholly owned, but will reportedly continue to be operated separately. They're not saying where or how many, but Department of Homeland Security officials do say the first of 150 full-body scanners are ready for deployment at some U.S. airports in 2 weeks. UPI reports that the scanners will all be in place by the end of the year. The equipment has been paid for using $25 million in stimulus funds. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano has said the scanners would detect the type of explosives used by accused underpants bomber Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab on Christmas Day. The machines were ordered over a year ago. It's taken that long for airports to allocate space and build privacy rooms so that the scans are not out in plain view. Still ahead, federal aid for displaced workers in Kansas, celebrating 100 years of women pilots, and remembering Marguerite Lawrence. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Department of Labor has announced grants of $7.5 million to assist workers laid off from aviation and other industries in Kansas. The Associated Press reports the money will go to the Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas for training and employment-related assistance and other services. Aviation workers are the largest group affected. One of AirVenture Oshkosh's more interesting characters has gone west. Up until her 90th birthday, Marguerite Lawrence visited the event every year, selling tickets as a volunteer by day and sleeping in a pup tent at night. The Wichita Eagle reports Marguerite was also a longtime volunteer at the Kansas Aviation Museum. She reportedly soloed at 21, received her private pilot's license 3 years later, eventually married her flight instructor, and helped him run an FBO in southern Nebraska. About his 90-year-old mom sleeping in a tent at Oshkosh, her son Stan says she just refused to stay in a motel. And finally today, here's an interesting twist on introductory flights. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of the issuance of the first pilot license earned by a woman, Susan Larson, president of the 99s, has committed to flying women who've never flown before in both her Cessna 182 and Hughes 500 helicopter during the week of March 6th through the 12th. Since forming in 1927, the 99s have grown from the original 99 to over 5,000 members. But worldwide, only about 6% of licensed pilots are women. Marielle Goyer, a Canadian ATP, has created Centennial of Women Pilots, which seeks to have women pilots fly women non-pilots during the Centennial Week. Participants from four continents and over 10 countries have registered and hope to set a record for the most women pilots introducing a woman to flying in a single day and within a single week. Okay, so the obvious question is, if 94% of pilots are men, why not increase the number of intro rides by letting them offer them too? Well, apparently the 99s believe that women who are not pilots will be more impressed flying with other women as pilots than they would be with men. You know, there may be something to that. I proposed to Cindy in the night skies over Hillsboro, Oregon in a Diamond DA-20. And she did marry me. But she's still not a pilot. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell talks about the new Cecil Field Spaceport in Florida with Planning and Development Administrator Todd Lindner. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.